are back. The Power Hour. Sometimes I sit here and I just want to listen to the opening theme because it gets me going, and then I have to realize, no, I got to start talking. Alan Myers here, guest hosting on The Power Hour. We're in our second hour. I am so happy and thrilled to be having a chat with Patrick Michael Byrne, PhD. He doesn't use that much, but he is currently one of the founders and CEO of the America Project, which we're going to talk about. But before we do, going to set a little history on his business experiences, which are extensive and quite significant. Patrick, welcome back to the Power Hour.
Alan, good to be on, sir.
Thank you so much.
We're enjoying our talk.
Of course, when you call me sir, I'm thinking he's talking to somebody else, not me. But that, I appreciate that. 1999, going to take you back a little bit. You launched Overstock.com.
Yes, sir.
And in 2002, you took it public. My research says that from 1999 to 2019, you were the CEO of Overstock.
Guilty as charged.
This is heavy stuff. This is big time business. Share a little, would you please?
Yeah. Well, I had been an entrepreneur for about 15 years or longer, on and off, doing different things. And even when I was still a student, like an undergraduate and a high school student, and opportunity came along with the to do liquidation online. And liquidation is a part of retail that most people don't really know about. It's kind of the bada bing, bada boom side of retail, where there's always 2 to 5% of everything that gets made that doesn't sell out. And there's got to be people called jobbers who come in and clean it out. And in the past, it used to sort of show up in the retail system on in back alley outlet stores in Brooklyn and places like that. What I realized is, and it's to take that and put it online and develop a warehouse in Salt Lake City, Utah, that kind of did that function and then turned and got things up online, and then we sold out. So we could go to manufacturers or retailers who had too much of any product, and they could dump it to us, and we could flood it out into the consumer's hands and get it out of the marketplace. So that was the idea. I was turned down by 85 venture capitalists on that idea, frankly. And then this morning, in a day that anyone could go out to Silicon Valley and on a two-page business plan raise $100 million to sell, you know, goat cheese online, Sheplin.com or something, I went out. I had run companies for Warren Buffett. I built a torch manufacturing company, sold it for $24 million. I did all kinds of stuff before this. I thought, boy, these venture capitalists in Silicon Valley are surely going to back me, since these kids are showing up with no background and getting $100 million deals. I was turned down by 85 guys, 85 venture capitalists. Then this marvelous thing happened, which was the dot-com crash. And I discovered that the system we had built to handle excess inventory and liquidations worked really well on bankruptcies. And I went around and liquidated bankruptcy 19 of the dot-coms that had been funded by these venture capitalists who had turned me down for money. But I promise... I'm much too mature to take any undue satisfaction in that, I promise.
Oh, I hope not. I hope not. Just so you know, part of my background in business is I do work, and I have for almost 30 years, I work for Chapter 7 bankruptcy trustees. So I've seen some of this on a local level, but that's pretty fun. That is pretty fun. Well, now I want to, because I want to make sure we have plenty of time to talk about the America Project and what's going on. But this is really interesting. I mean, I really wonder what the 85 who turned you down are thinking now. But coming forward a little bit.
I've heard from them over the years. I would cross paths, and usually they'd come up and shake my hand and have a chuckle about it all. We were all good sports about it.
Yeah. It's like all the people who turned down Star Wars before it finally got made.
Oh, really? Well, there are a lot?
Oh, yeah. And you probably heard the author, Dr. Seuss.
Sure. Went to Dartmouth.
Okay. He only got turned down by about 35 publishers. But he kept going. And aren't we all glad he did? He didn't quit. Well, in 2005, between 2005 and 2008, that's that time period where the stock market and everybody is going nutso and everything is great and wonderful. And then my understanding is you come out on the scene and you say something really different. What did you say?
Let me go back a step. In 2002, when we went public, when you're the CEO of a public company, you're spending a lot of time out there in the mix, I call it. You're out there with hedge funds, prime bankers, prime brokers, SEC officials sometimes, journalists other times. Just you're out there in this mix of people and hedge funds. They're usually Greenwich, Connecticut down to Manhattan is basically the reason. And after I'd gotten to know people enough, there were a number who, you know, after I had met them once or twice, asked me to dinner, and over dinner would say something along the lines of, "Hey, kid, if you're, you know, we can make a lot of money together if you're willing to play ball." And so it didn't take, like, it's not like I'm Sherlock Holmes. I knew who the bad guys were, and I started figuring out what they were doing. And I started going to the government to explain, do you understand? I used to work on Wall Street. I grew up in the early 90s. I grew up in the sort of the holy church of capital markets. I mean, if you knew my economics profession, it's Milton Friedman was my friend, and Ken Arrow, and Sir Partha Dasgupta, Sir Partha now. I just grew up in, of course, we kind of skipped over, but Warren Buffett was kind of my great mentor in life. So I grew up, like, in this church of capital markets. And when I got back to Wall Street in 02 to 05 and discovered how open the criminality was, relatively open, and I went into the SEC. I'm told I'm the only CEO who ever did this. I went in with no lawyer and sat under oath and answered all the questions that they asked me for a day or two in 04, and then said, "No, can you have more time? I got more things to tell you about that I'm figured out." I couldn't believe it. It was like to find out there's criminality on Wall Street was like open. It was like finding out if you're walking down the street and you see some old lady being mugged down an alley. Are you really going to walk by? I figured out that there were ways that they were doing things that were not just, that were looting the savings of America is really the truth. That really deep, deep structural things, not little incidental crimes. Somebody stealing $10,000 from another guy here and there, but systemic things. And I started group. And what I discovered by going to Washington, D.C., and the SEC, and NASDAQ, and FINRA, and the House Financial Services, and the Senate Banking Committee, and the Wall Street Financial Press, is it was, as the expression goes, turtles all the way down. There's no there. There's nothing there. It was all corrupt. All corrupt. Finally, the chief of staff of one senator took me aside, and he was a former Morgan Stanley guy, frankly. And he took me aside. He said, you know, he was a good guy. He was Pete Domenici's assistant. And he said, you, New Mexico. And he said, you know, don't get so frustrated. We understand what you're saying. It isn't that you're not explaining all up, but you got to understand, every time you're in here, the other banks, you know, Goldman's in here, and Morgan Stanley, such, are in here 10, 20 times. And he even told me some things to look into, how certain senators were getting. Anyway, so that's when I started in 05, 06. I started really discovering what's going on today and the realization that everyone's happening of how deeply corrupt Washington, D.C. is. I came across in 05, and from 05 to 08, I eventually went public and started writing about it and talking about it publicly, which no CEO of a public company had ever done. I was coming out and talking about Washington and writing long essays and revealing all kinds of dirty stuff that was there for the asking. And I funded a huge investigative effort called Deep Capture, which has lawyers and journalists and investigate researchers, all kinds of things all over. And we gradually teased out what was really the underbelly of Wall Street at the time. I thought I was dealing with a couple of crooks down in Florida. I didn't realize that it turns out the thing we had stumbled over was massive, and it was responsible for two-thirds of the revenue of Goldman Sachs, for example. And when everything melted down in 08 and Greenspan went before Congress to explain what was going on, he came out of retirement on October 23rd, 08, to do that. He got up and he said, and he named, you know, besides the Bernie Madoff stuff and the mortgage-backed securities, the real problem going on, he pointed to the third problem that was the systemic problem was exactly the thing I'd been screaming about, which was something about the settlement system. That at the heart of Wall Street, there's a system that's called settlement, which is just very simply, it just means if you buy stock from me, the system that gets your money to me and my stock to you is called settlement. And like other major institutions in society, such as what we're going to get to is elections, the world thought that that system had integrity. They thought that it was, and you thought if you bought 100 shares from me that there was some account that my 100 shares move over to your box or something. Turns out that the real system, as I learned about it, is far sloppier than that. Nothing like you expect. So much slop in it. It's terribly thought out. And that in that slop, I realized there were, A, a bunch of hedge funds making billions, by B, draining the savings out of the pension funds of America through this crack I had discovered, and C, the SEC seemed to be asleep at the switch or on the side of the hedge funds, and D, the whole thing was going to melt down. So I had all that figured out in 05 and started saying it, at which point the mainstream press started running photos of me with UFOs coming out of my head because I was suggesting that the SEC and Wall Street were inappropriately close and that the SEC wasn't really protecting us. That was a conspiracy theory. That was my first conspiracy theory in the eyes of the mainstream press. Isn't that funny? After 08, everyone kind of shut up about the conspiracy theory thing.
Thank you for all of that. As we were talking before off mic, the book and the movie, The Big Short, it's how could they not know this is going on? Whether it's the settlements which you're talking about, the basically allowing gambling to go on, which is what a credit default swap is, because you're betting. But they all knew it. This is what I'm getting out of this. They knew this was going down. They knew they were, especially when it came to credit default swaps, which is basically you're taking insurance out on something if it fails, that the in essence, the issuers of the insurance were just going well beyond their ability to make payments should it ever go bad, because they never believed that what they were insuring would ever go bad. And then you look at the heart, of course, this was the mortgage-backed securities back then, and you look at the heart of what's coming out, and that it was commonly known, especially in California, you could get a stated income loan. You tell the lender what you make.
Liar's loans.
There's no documentation about it. And the reason the lenders were making these loans is because they could turn around instantly and sell these to either Freddie, Fannie, or Wall Street, which means they never held the liability. And this is what we call, appropriate regulation and control. And the reason to bring this
– let me opine on that for a moment. What's especially pernicious about that, as we discussed in the break, is we have a principle in that you can't buy insurance on something in which you do not have an insurable interest, is the expression, meaning I can't go around and buy fire insurance on your home. I don't have any ownership in your home. If one could do that, it would create an industry for arson. Arson would be a business model. I'd go out, well, someone could go out and buy insurance on a dozen homes and then go and arrange fires. So for that reason, in the business of insurance, you can't buy insurance if you don't have an actual interest in the item. But on Wall Street, you can buy insurance on a business burning down or a business going under when you don't have any interest. And that means it puts you in the position of being able to buy fire insurance on your neighbor's home, and you kind of have a reason to go out and start barbecuing and hoping that you're doing things you can to help his business, his home burn down. So that's the gist of what is at the, of the argument, or one of the arguments about Wall Street. You have people actually trying to sabotage companies and destroy companies for profit. It's okay to bet against companies, but if you're actively out there, it's okay. You know, if you're actively out there trying to burn down someone else's home, that's not just betting that their home is going to burn down. And that's what's allowed on Wall Street with credit default swaps.
Last thing, and then we're going to move on to the America Project. And thank you for all of that. What gets me is, yeah, if you don't have an insurable interest, whether it's a person or a car or a home, then you can't get insurance on it because that brings in some morality problems. But when you can basically get insurance on a business that you have no interest in, well, that's just straight up gambling. And they allowed the house to take more bets than they could ever cover. Something that would never, ever happen in Vegas. But they let it happen. And then all of a sudden, oopsie, we didn't see this coming. The point behind all of this is that you got, tell me if this is correct or not, you kind of got raked over the coals for being a nut job, crazy, conspiracy theorist, on and on and on. Right up until 2008 happened, and then
everyone got it incorrect.
So now we get to the whole the thing that is so important. It's called this is what I know, and then fill in the gaps, please. It's called the America Project. Love the title. And you can find them on the web at americaproject.com. The acronym TAP, T-A-P, is used for the America Project. And it was founded, I love this, to advance freedom, preserve the American way of life. We love America. We seek and speak truth. You co-founded this with Lieutenant General Michael T. Flynn because... and, you know, I have to mention, we're talking about two Irish boys here, right?
We laugh about that all the time. And his brother Joe, who's another, What is it about the Irish?
So, God bless you. And one of the reasons to found and get this organization started is because when you see the planes in the air and the tanks rolling on the ground, you know you're under attack. Well, according to General Flynn, we're under a new type of attack. This to me is an absolute stealth. You don't hear it, you don't see it. And this idea that we could be taken down is kind of odd, but when you start looking at it, it's really, really possible. And what we're talking about is the 2020 election. Now, you're getting the same pushback on what you're doing here, I believe, as you did between 2005 and 2008, which the pushback proved to be wrong.
Correct. And the claim I'm making is very similar. The claim I'm saying, look, there's this institution in society, one of the major institutions, that everybody trusts, and you just assume it works. Like, no one would, because we live under rule of law, and government officials want to do their job, and so on and so forth. And there couldn't, you know, you'd have to go in and understand the details of how balloting works to understand if you're a good citizen. Well, it all runs on the honor system, and Americans know it's all so important. No one would ever cheat this stuff, and so on and so forth. That's what you think, and it's very much like people thought about the Wall Street settlement system, 05 to 08, what they think about the election systems, that they have integrity and it's careful and such. And just like as I discovered in 04, 05, and started going public about, that the Wall Street settlement systems have an enormous amount of slop and lack of integrity and ways to cheat and so forth, and that the officials overseeing it let all that persist, turn a blind eye to hard evidence, hard PhD in economic type evidence, turn a blind eye to it all because they're all, in a sense, they're all looking for jobs down the road with the guilty parties doing the stuff. And so the officials who you think are protecting you are corrupt. That's what I was saying 05 to 08 regarding the SEC. Since then, what I'm saying now about the election system is exactly the same. It's a fundamental institution of society, this election stuff. And how, and you just assume, of course, that you couldn't have stuff be, couldn't, you know, loosey goosey or anything, that everybody understands that. And it just turns out there's far more slop in the system than anyone had any idea. And, you know, the Arizona canvas results have come out last week, and it's shocking. 15% to 20% of the vote is fake or suppressed. It's ballot stuffing or ballot suppression. And 15% to 20%. And, you know, elections are getting decided. Typically, elections get played between the 45-yard lines on the football field. People win 52, 48, 53, 47. Maybe they don't generally win much beyond that. If one side gets to show up and gets a 15- to 20-point advantage through cheating, then the whole thing's over. There's no point. Let's kill the pretense that we actually are having elections anymore. And what we have now learned, as of a few days ago in Arizona, is 15% to 20% of the Phoenix vote is fake.
Patrick, I'm going to interrupt because we're going to be coming to break in a moment, and we're going to come back on that. And I want to talk about, because this is what always has gotten me, and you talked about it, Schrodinger's cat. Okay, if everything is okay, everything is perfect, everything is wonderful, why would anyone push back about having a look inside the box? And that would be, of course, the ballot box. Why would you care? I'm going to waste my time. I'm going to waste my energy. I'm going to waste my money. Why would you care? Well, we're at break. We're going to be right back after these important messages. Check out thepowermall.com.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829. Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Herb and Spice. We carry the Resvital Calf, Sinua Raga, Oreganol Juice, Pure Leafy, Chaga Max, Collagen Power Plus, Orega Rest, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com or call 877-817-9829.
Relieve stress and anxiety and create calmness in your life with Tranquil. Available today at thepowermall.com. For a limited time, buy one Tranquil and receive the second one absolutely free. That's right, buy one Tranquil and receive the second absolutely free at thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Hurry, supplies are limited.
Hi, this is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the Optivita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Yeah, you know what that music's about. We're back. Alan Myers here, sitting in. I'm very fortunate to have as guest Patrick Michael Byrne, currently the founder and CEO of the America Project. Now, what I know about the America Project is, well, it's about America. But who better to hear about the America Project, what it's doing, what it's working on, including analysis or working with people who are analyzing the 2020 presidential election. By the way, I wanted to share this with you, Patrick. Somebody said that you're promoting false claims about how Donald Trump actually won the 2020 election and that that he actually was defeated in an election that was found to be the most secure in United States history.
You know who said that? A guy who was the head of CISA, which is a branch of the DHS. He's a Microsoft lawyer who went into government and for several years. And he's that lawyer is the guy who's opining on the cybersecurity of our election. Yeah, it's silly. This election was totally rigged. And I say this not because I'm a Donald Trump lover. I'm not a lover. I'm not a hater. Never didn't vote for the guy. Guy won fair and square. I support him. But no, this is a completely rigged election. And 69% of Americans now will not dispute that. only 31% will. So who are these guys? You know, these guys are funny. They're whistling past the graveyard, telling themselves, oh, these are far out weird conspiracy theories, domestic extremism. Nobody, 69% of them agree or at least do not dispute. 57% agree and another 11-something, you know, 11%, won't disagree.
Yeah.
So 69% or over two-thirds are on my side. So this theory that this is all some wacky, far-out, you know, conspiracy theory, ooh, it's kind of silly. So only 31% of Americans now believe that they will say that Biden won without election fraud. And that's dropping like a stone.
What gets me is that, and this is the way I've taken it, the position with others, and then I'll let you continue, please, let's say the election was absolutely the purest, most perfect election ever to take place. Okay, fine. And I want to review the results. I'm going to do it on my own time, my own dime, my own effort. And I'm going to share with everybody what I find. And if I find out this was the purest, most correct election ever, then you got me, and I'm going to look like a dummy.
Absolutely.
So I don't understand.
Mike, oh. Hey,
go ahead. Oh, I don't understand.
Mike Flynn and I have said if Arizona turns out to be a dry hole, we will go and stand on the global stage and say we are sorry. We are sorry we spun our country up and turned out to be wrong. We were wrong. But if we turn out to be right, then there's something else. But political debates don't generally get to that point. This is like, you know, we don't have to talk theory. We don't have to argue about Derrida's deconstruction of asymmetric power relationships anymore. We just open the ballot boxes in one county, and let's see what we find there. And we believe you're going to find 15 to 20% of the votes are fake, either fake or suppressed. They're either stuffed or suppressed. They go both ways. They stuff for one candidate, and they suppress for the other. And by the way, tens and tens and tens of thousands of those 170,000 people had their votes suppressed in Maricopa out of 2.1 million voters, 2.6 million registered, 170,000. So can I walk through some numbers quickly as long as we're on the
ballot? Before you do, explain the term which you just used, suppressed. What does that mean, and how is that known?
Okay. In Maricopa, there are 2.6 million registered voters, the main homes. There are, according to the records, 2.1 million of those 2.6 million voted on Election Day, or they voted, you know, they were mail-in, and most of them were mail-in. But they voted in Election 2020. So that means if 2.6 million were registered and only 2.1 million did, there were 500,000 people who didn't vote. If you go to those 500,000 people and you ask them, did you vote? 34% of those, but the records show those 500,000 people did not vote. Those county records show. Well, of those 500,000, 170,000 or 34% say, yes, I did vote. I absolutely voted. My wife and I drove down to the precinct and we did this, or we mailed it in and we did that. And here's a photocopy and here's an affidavit. And hundreds of affidavits about all this. 173,000 people, roughly, had voted, and but their votes do not show up in the system. And so that's how their votes are suppressed. So it's just like in the early 60s. I'm old enough to remember those horrible pictures, shameful in U.S. history, of black men and women going up hoping to, you know, register to vote in the South and having... You know, there were poll taxes, there were literacy tests where you got asked, okay, recite the Constitution, and if you can, you can't vote. And, or they got, or there were German shepherds with, you know, deputy sheriff with German shepherds at the door, sort of keeping them away. And I said, what a horrible chapter in our history. Well, that just happened 173,000 times in Maricopa County, Arizona, in Phoenix. 173,000 people had their votes taken from them, suppressed. But they did. No one did it with German shepherds, and no one did it with poll taxes and asking people to recite the Constitution. They did it through much, much deeper hacks of the system. And by hack, I don't mean necessarily a cyber hack of the equipment. I mean trickery and mischief, cheating the system that is supposed to maintain integrity. It has to do maybe with cheating machines, maybe with cheating in the voter rolls, maybe with cheating in the printing of the ballots, maybe counterfeit. There's all kinds of it's spread everywhere. It's everywhere. So that's what happened. And so that's 173,000 votes were suppressed just as surely as those horrible pictures from the early 60s in Montgomery, Alabama, when, you know, some black citizen is going trying to exercise his right and gets beaten by, you know, warded off by a deputy sheriff with a German shepherd. It's as horrible as that. It just isn't happening with German shepherds anymore. It happened 170,000 times in that one precinct, in that one county that holds Phoenix, Arizona. And so that's one example. On another example, there's 100,000 ghosts, and a ghost is, you know, a home with two bedrooms and 52 votes are mailed in from it. And you go out to the home and you knock on the door and there's a couple living there and you say, hey, how many people live here? And the lady says, my husband and I live here alone. And you say, well, what about these other 50 people? And are they living in your basement or your attic? And they look and they say, we don't know anything about these people, never heard of them. If you add those, there are empty sand lots that, and they're completely empty. And I see that these guys have tried to debunk by publishing an address that shows, well, one of the addresses we claim was empty. Here's a picture that shows, no, there's houses there. The county recorder did that yesterday, lying, because he's not revealing that that picture was, and I did a little video, and it's going on live, that explains this. We're on Google Maps. That picture was taken in 2011. Everything was destroyed there in January of 2020. All the permits were given. Everything, the place was leveled. It's an empty field. It's an empty sandlot. And yet there are votes coming in from it. And, you know, the satellite photo just shows a big, empty one block of sand. And you wonder, where are these votes coming from? And it's just great. There's so much of that everywhere, all over Maricopa, that's happened. And this is an election that was decided by 10,000 votes in Arizona. The presidential election, there's a dozen down ballot races decided by this stuff. But you're talking about hundreds of thousands of fake votes. There's two people on the Maricopa County Board of Elections, and two people who've been vociferously fighting any research into this issue. And both of those people got reelected, it turns out, one of them by 400 votes out of several hundred thousand cast. And he's the best, and it looks very much, you know, he won by a tiny sliver just like Biden won by a tiny sliver, 0.2%. But it turns out 15 to 20% of the vote is fake. That's pretty problematic. So no wonder these officials are all fighting teeth, toes, and fingernails and snot, spit, and fingernails to keep anyone from looking at anything. They're beneficiaries of the cheating, it would appear, from the numbers. So it's as corrupt as can be. I told people this about Wall Street from 05 to 08, and a lot of people, you know, kind of said, well, you sound like it makes sense, but it's just such an extraordinary thing. How can we believe this? After 08, I started getting fun. Like the Associated Press called me and right after September 15th, and this guy who I'd been teaching for several years about my claims, and he'd been afraid that it was so outrageous. He called me in September 2008 to say, well, I guess there's vindicated, and then there's Patrick Byrne vindicated, and everything melted down. Well, I'm telling you, it's the same thing here. I'm telling the country our election system is crooked as a hound's hind leg. There's no integrity. It's garbage. The technology is garbage. I'm a guy who built a $2 billion e-commerce company from scratch. I know something about technology and technologists. I'm not a technologist myself, but I'm really good at discerning who are honest technologists and who are not. And this is crap technology, crap security, absolute crap cybersecurity, pardon my Irish, and it's garbage. And the bad guys, just like as they figured out in Wall Street, 05 to 08, figured out how to use the loosey-goosiness of the systems underneath Wall Street to cheat the country, some bad guys, and I think they're connected, figured out how to use the loosey-goosiness of our election systems to pull off a massive, massive election fraud in this last election. That's what happened.
Patrick, thank you so much. So what I got is that you got 500,000 people who apparently didn't vote, but 34% of them said they did.
Correct.
Okay, that's a problem. Then you've got people who don't exist, called ghost votes.
Right.
And then you've got people who can vote from vacant lots.
Right. Well, those are the ghost votes. Those are ghost votes. That's a ghost vote.
I thought ghost votes were you've got Mr. and Mrs. living at home, and there's 50 votes coming out of there, and then you got
example of ghost votes.
Yeah.
Another is the empty lot voting.
The upshot is as you talked about these elections are happening within a very narrow margin. So if you have 5% of a vote, if you discover 5% of the vote is a problem, is that significant?
Oh, yeah. You know, if the election is getting decided by 0.2 or 0.3%, but it turns out 15 to 20% of the votes are fake, the ballots are either fake or have been suppressed. Fake on the side of one candidate, suppressed on the other side of the other. It means it's not even close. It means elections are over. You can't ever win. The game is played between the 45-yard line. It's played over that last 10%. And if someone's able to come in and steal 15, 20% of the vote, that means you can never win. There's never a free election again. And, of course, the fact that they came in on a rigged election and immediately set to work to make three changes, that is, let's change, federalize election law. Let's change the electorate by admitting 25 million new voters, undocumented voters, and let's change the Supreme Court through stuffing so it will sprinkle holy water on this whole mess. The fact that they came in like a thunderstorm to do those three things tell me they all know that it was stolen. They all know it was stolen in November. And they know that they're stumped in the next election unless they get it fixed. The things they did in the last election to pull this off, you couldn't do in a normal election. They use all this COVID emergency stuff to pull it off. And they want to make it permanent, like ballot harvesting and no voter IDs and all this kind of stuff. And that, which is absurd, and mail-in voting. And the reason they want to do that is so they can, so the thing they stole this time, they can steal forever.
This would be tragic. Now, you're working with a woman out of Arizona, Liz Harris. I believe she's leading the Maricopa recount. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And
no, she's leading the Maricopa canvas. She did the canvas. You can think of, you know, let's say recount's the wrong word. This is not a recount. Okay. This is a real investigation. A recount is just some kids holding them up to the light looking for chads. An investigation such as we are doing has three branches. It's got people talking, you know, people looking at the machines, people talking to the voters, which is the canvassing. That's Liz Harris. And third, people looking at the ballots, which means two things, both holding them up to the light and looking for the chads, and looking at the paper forensically. Is it counterfeit? Has the printing? Has it anything like that? So those are the three branches, and the canvassing part was run by Liz Harris, and she's a real hero, and she discovered that amazing data I just explained.
Now, has she issued a report?
She did last week. You can go look at their report. It's online.
Okay.
Go to canvas50.org, I think is her organization. Canvas50.
That's it. And get the report. What it still amazes me that now this is happening in, I guess that's the Phoenix County. Are there projects in other counties that are being looked at?
Yes, there are.
Well, I'm aware of. Tell me if I'm correct. Las Vegas, Milwaukee, Detroit, Atlanta, and Philly.
Well, those are the five that need it done, but there's 13 to 20 states, and many of which contain that are looking, whole states. So all of Wisconsin is looking to do it, not just Milwaukee. All of Michigan is looking to do it, not just Detroit.
Beautiful.
But we can tell mathematically where the fraud is. And the fraud, truth is, it's all over. It's all over. But it just got intense in those six cities. And the reason is that those six cities are the swing cities of swing states. So you don't, the country has 3,006 counties, but to win, you don't need to cheat in all 3,006. You need to cheat like crazy in six. And because those six flip the swing states they're in, which flips the Electoral College, which flips the nation. So to flip the nation, you got to go cheat in six counties like crazy. But it really isn't just those counties. It's not just Atlanta, for example. It's all over Georgia. But what they did was, in deeply red counties, they stole votes not to turn them blue, but just to turn them a little less deeply red. So they steal 5 to 10% of the vote. In places that are blue, they steal in order to make them more blue, but they try to avoid taking a place that's red and flipping it blue with stealing because that'll draw too much attention. But it happens sometimes.
All right, we got a few more minutes left. I've so enjoyed the conversation and learning from you. Come back to is my one big question. What's the call to action? Let me tell you what I think needs to happen, and then I want to hear your thoughts, Patrick, and that is we need to return to a physical election. You go to unless there's a absolutely specific reason for a mail-in because you're physically enabled or something, you go, you vote in person. You have to prove that you're eligible to vote. The voter rolls are scrubbed prior to the election process, and this is all paper. For people who want to make sure that it's fair, because there's one thing I think that's the hallmark of America overall. We care about fairness, and I'll give you one quick example. Even in the game of football, you take the Super Bowl, the football game of the year. People go nuts over it. What do they do if the officials thinks they can't call a penalty right? They stop the game. They go to commercial break. They're looking at videos. Why? Because they want to get it correct. They stop the game. Well, for people who are out there who want to make sure this game gets played right, because it's so important, so impactful, get involved in your local election process. But to me, the call to action, people have got to get out there, get involved, stay involved. What are your closing thoughts on this, Patrick?
My closing thoughts, to really fix the problem, we got to go to paper. But the best thing to do, please join Mike Flynn and I at the American Project. It's very simple. Either go to this site or just text the word USA. We're looking for enlistees in Mike Flynn's digital army. And it's the American Project is built. He and I built it as an organization to allow the millions of people out there to push back and defend their rights while staying legal. We have networks of networks. We have all kinds of people around the country coming together. And so my point is, join the American Project. Text the word USA to the number 84576. 8, then 45 like President 45, and 76 like 1776. 84576. Send that number to text USA. And join Mike Flynn and I in the America Project. We'll be on our newsletter. We'll be keeping you informed, and you'll be part of our network. And that's really, we built it to help Americans push back.
This is Catherine at the Power Hour. The Power Mall began when Joyce Riley discovered an all-natural soap that heals skin issues and can replace your bathing, laundry, and household cleaning products. That soap is Miracle 2 and is made from natural minerals and coconut extract with no added fragrances or colors and is naturally concentrated and biodegradable. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today. You'll learn why so many people say, it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with olive oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that olive oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Alan Myers, I'm back. Had a technical issue. Something happened with my computer. Terribly sorry. This has been the Power Hour. Had a great guest today. So happy. Patrick Michael Byrne. Check him out. His organization, The America Project. TheAmericaProject.com. Until next time, to all you people out there, you good people, you lovers of defenders of liberty, freedom, rights, individuality, quality of opportunity for all. All you patriots. Until next time. Be safe and well. Patriot out.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.